Hello everyone, thank you for coming to my talk. If it isn't obvious enough, it's going to be about generics. I'm Anton, I'm based in Bulgaria. I'm a senior software engineer at Cast.ai, where I'm working on making your Kubernetes clusters more secure. I've been doing Go since around 2019, and before that I was doing Java, and I think my time spent working with Java subconsciously contributed to my love for generics, and it's the reason why I chose this topic for today's talk. You can follow me on social media. So let's get started. So what are generics? Well, it's just a way of programming that allows you to write code which works with multiple types while still preserving type safety. And they were introduced in Go very recently, in Go 1.18, which came out in 2022. So how many of you have actually worked with generics, like written a generic function or used some library that had generics? So, okay, quite a few hands. Yeah, I'm still going to do like a very quick introduction to generics. This is a generic function. It looks like a regular function, but here in the square brackets we have the, this is actually what makes the function generic. We define here the generic type T, and we give it a type constraint which limits what this type can actually be. And then in the body we have a regular code that uses this type. So at the time of writing this function, we don't know what this type T is. We only know that when we start using it. And we use it like this. Here we're calling this function twice, once with integer arguments and one with floating point numbers. And you see the arguments, they match the type that we defined here. Also, the compiler is pretty smart, so we don't need actually to give it the type. It can infer it by itself. In this case, this is still an integer function, and our result will still be size of integers. And if you want to do something stupid like this, the compiler will scream at us. It wouldn't let us write this code because these two things here are different types, so we cannot use them with this function because we require the type to be the same. And this is basically the gist of it. A little bit of history on how we got here. I guess most of you know Go was released in 2009 in November with this blog post. It was internally developed in Google shortly before that. And in 2009, they released it to the world. So why did they actually create a new language? In 2009, there were a lot of languages already in the wild. So why create a new one? Well, at that time, Google was using a lot of C++, so they had a big C++ code base. And one thing with C++, it's a very powerful language, but it's also a very complex one. So you can do a lot of stuff, and the complexity can get quite high. So for them, it was harder to onboard new people, especially more junior ones, to their complex code base. That's why they wanted to have a new language, which is more simple, so that it's easier to onboard new people. Also, C++ is notorious for its slow compilation times, so they wanted a new language that mitigates that as well. But they very much liked how fast C++ runs, so they wanted to keep this in a new language that they created. And that's how Go came to be. However, it turns out that generics kind of complicate each one of these three conditions. So back then in 2009, it kind of makes sense that to not have generics in the language. However, it took them less than 24 hours for people on the internet to start complaining about the lack of generics. Yeah, this is a Google group, a discussion about the language, and you see this is November 11th. So one day after the language was released, someone complains that the language doesn't have generics. And this kind of set the tone of how the next few years are going to come by. People will continue complaining about the lack of generics. It's always going to be one of the most requested features to be added to the language. So what did the Go team do about that? It turns out they did quite a lot. So 1 year later, we got the first proposal for generics. It was called type functions. It was rejected, obviously. Then we had another one in 2011 called generalized types. Then we had two more in 2013 called type parameters and generalized types v2. As you know, all of them were rejected. All four of those proposals came from within the Go team, and the majority of work was done by one guy. He's called Ian Lance Taylor. So yeah, this effort came from the Go team itself. Then we had some radio silence on the topic, but in 2018 and 2019 we got two more proposals called contracts and contracts v2. Essentially this we got one more in 2021, type parameters, and this is actually the proposal that got accepted. And these three proposals, they were still written by the same guy from before. So, yeah. finally, he got his way, and we got generics with this final proposal. So what took them so long? Obviously, the Go team wanted to do that. All these proposals came from within the Go team. The community also wanted to have that. So what took them so long? I think to answer this question, we need to get back to this blog post by Russ Cox. It's from December 2009, so this is the first month of the language. And it's called The Generic Dilemma. What it says in this article, it's basically he came to the conclusion that the generic dilemma is, do we want slow programmers, slow compilers, or slow execution times? So what Russ Cox did was he looked at all these other languages that already existed back then, and he looked at how they implemented generics. And he realized that if you want generics or don't want generics, you need to choose one of three trade-offs. He basically came up with three categories of languages. The first one is languages like C that don't have generics, so you don't have the productivity boost that features like generics give you. But you do have fast compilers and fast runtimes. Then you have C++, where you do have generics and you do have the fast runtime, but you get the slow compilation time because of the way generics are implemented. And then you have Java, where, again, you have fast programmers, you have fast compilers, but because of the way generics are implemented, which is completely different than C++, you get the performance hit in runtime. And having in mind that Go already did have limited support for generics, for the building types, like maps, slices, channels, I guess they just didn't want to take any one of these three trade-offs and just decided to leave the things as they are. But as we saw, we already have an accepted proposal. And now let's talk about implementation. Let's see what this proposal tells us about how generics are going to be implemented in Go. Well, it didn't tell us anything. Oh, the final proposal, and also all the previous one, in their implementation paragraph, they say, we are aware of the generics dilemma. We don't want to take a decision on this. The proposal is flexible enough so that you can implement it however you like. So basically, it doesn't give us any guidance on how it's going to be implemented. So what do? We need to write more proposals for the actual implementation. In reality, there were three proposals written for the implementation. The final one was accepted. But for us to better understand how we came to how we came there, we need to look at all three of the proposals. The first one is called stenciling, and this is basically the C++ way of doing things. And stenciling means that when we have a generic function and we use it with some types, we're going to compile one function for all the types that we use our generic function with. Let's see an example. On the left, we have a generic code, pretty simple function that just takes two values and returns the sum of them. And we are calling it with first with integers and then with floating point numbers. What will happen during compilation is that the compiler will actually produce two functions. The first one will work with just integers. The second one will work with just floats. And on the call side, we are going to replace the generic function with the specific implementation of this function for this type. Of course, this is just pseudocode. The Go compiler doesn't produce any Go code. It produces machine code. But it's just an illustration of how this is going to look like according to the proposal. So, yeah, this is the integer implementation and the float implementation. The big benefits here are that you basically don't have any performance penalty during runtime, because in runtime you don't have generic functions, you have regular functions. However, the performance hits come during compilation. Now the compiler has to do a lot more work to compile this function multiple times for each of the types that we work with. And this also contributes to the bigger binary size, because now we have more stuff in our compiled binary. So because of these reasons, this proposal was rejected. The second proposal is called dictionaries, and this is more or less the way Java does generics. This says we are going to compile a single function for the generic function, and we are going to use dictionaries to keep all the type information for the specific types that we use our function with. Let's see how this looks like. Again, we have the same simple sum function. And after compilation, this looks like this. Now you see on the left, we have just a single implementation of our sumg function. And we see here our two arguments, A and B. But now they're just pointers. And the return value is also a pointer. But we also see we have one more argument that's being added to our function, and this is this thing here, the dictionary. And this here contains all the type information for the types that we are using this function with. You see on the top we have the type, and it also, like all the functions that are present on these types, we have them in the dictionary as well. In this case, the add function substitutes the plus operator. What happens when we call such function? You see here we are calling it with two integers. The compiler now needs to box these values into pointers, and it needs to come up with this dictionary that provides the implementation. And you see in the implementation we actually need to unbox these values to get their actual integer values. We need to sum them, and then we need to box this again into a pointer and return it. And here we need to unbox that return value again to get the actual value. This doesn't have a big performance penalty in compilation time. Yes, the compiler does more work, but we can say it's negligible. However, the big penalty here comes during runtime, because all this referencing and dereferencing, it just adds some overhead and it makes our code run slower. Also, it kind of prevents compiler inlining, because now a lot of the information is not present in compile time, it's present only at runtime. So this prevents the compiler from inlining a lot of stuff. And I'm not an expert in compilers, but I know that this is generally a good thing, inlining. And when we are using this approach, we are preventing the compiler from doing this nice optimization for us. So we can say we get a big performance hit in runtime. And this is why this proposal was rejected. So we came to the third proposal, which is called GC-shaped stenciling. This is the proposal that actually got accepted. And this is more or less the middle ground between the first two proposals. So they said stenciling is bad, dictionaries are bad, let's do both. Yeah, so as I said, this is the middle ground, so it does a little bit of stenciling and a little bit of dictionaries. And actually what it does is it does produce multiple versions of our functions, but only for types that have different representation in memory. This is what GC shape stands for, garbage collector shape. So functions, types that have the same memory representation, we get the same implementation of the generic function, and the type information will be present in these dictionaries. This is a proposal that got accepted. So how this looks like? I have here still a simple example, although different than the previous one. I have a generic function called print and return. It accepts type T, which needs to satisfy the stringer interface. It gets the value of the string. It prints it, and it just returns the value T. Pretty stupid function, but it works for an example. And I'm calling this function four times with four different types. First time with an integer, then with a string. They are wrapped into their own custom type so that we can provide the string implementation. And then with two structs, A and B, which I am passing as pointers. So let's see how this looks like after compilation. But now we don't need to look at pseudocode, because this is the actual implementation of generics, so we can do something better. What I did, I compiled this code. I gave it some compiler flags to prevent optimizations and inlining. And then I used the go-to object dump command to disassemble the executable that I got from the go build. And we can actually look at some disassembled code. This is how it looks like. On the right is a disassembled code, and we see the shapes that the compiler produced. So we see our function was compiled three times. But why three times if we call it with four different types? Well, because A and B, they are just pointers, so they have the same memory representation. They're just a uint 8. So the compiler compiled only one shape for these two, for these two types. Let's dive into the implementation of this function. This is for the integer. You see here, go shape int. This indicates that this is for the integer. Then we have the string here for the string value, and then we have the uint 8 for the pointers. So let's dive into that function. So let's see what happens inside. We see here, in the beginning, we are moving some stuff around. R0 and R1, these are CPU registers, and in this case, they hold the arguments of the functions. So R1 is the value T that we see here. And R0 is the type dictionary that we saw in the previous slides. So it has actually two arguments, not one, because of the type dictionary. So with these two instructions, we are moving them to the stack. With the next instructions, we move some more stuff around. And actually what happens here is now in R0, we have the value T. But in R1, we have the string method of our type. So this was inside the type dictionary, but with these instructions here, we took it out of the type dictionary and put it into the CPU register, R1. This is a string method of A or B. We cannot say here because this is just the implementation, so whichever type we use it with, this will be the string method. And then we actually call this method, the string, which is this call here. So we see here the type dictionary in practice. So here some more stuff continue to happen. We see here the call runtime.conf to string function, which is a function that converts the string value to something that's representable in runtime. And then we see the call to println, which is this thing here. And then we just return the value, but I have omitted that. The following instructions on how I got here, you can find this GitHub repository. You can also find the slides there. So yeah, you can reproduce these examples and see for yourself what's going on. So yeah, this is the proposal that got accepted. This is how generics are implemented in Go. And you see here the benefits are kind of the same as the drawbacks. We have little performance penalty in compile time because we are compiling more shapes, but they are limited by the number of types that we can produce with different memory representations. And we still have some performance penalty in runtime because we're still using these dictionaries, but we can say they're also limited by the number of types. I have this asterisk here that says little to high with an asterisk, so I want to elaborate on what this means and what can high mean. So there is this blog post by the folks from PlanetScale. PlanetScale is a company that does managed SQL offerings. So they write code which is runs on very low level, so performance is very important for them. And shortly after generics were introduced in 2022, they wrote this blog post that says generic can make your Go code slower. I recommend you read the whole of it. It's a very interesting one. They do a lot of disassembly similar to what I did. With much more examples, benchmarks, and so on, so you can see for yourself. But the TLDR is that generics can introduce a performance hit in the baseline of like 2 to 3 microseconds for a function that usually runs in 5 microseconds. So this is like a 50% performance hit if you're using generics. What they also say in this article is that interfaces can produce a similar performance hit, because actually interfaces work in a similar way with the type dictionaries where you store the type information. So using them can have similar performance hit, which is smaller, so like 1 to 2 microseconds for a 5 microsecond baseline. So yeah. And the worst case scenario actually is if you use a generic function and you pass interface to a generic function. Because in this case, the performance hits accumulate. So you can get, like, these things accumulate, so you can get 3 to 5 microsecond performance penalty for a 5 microsecond function. So yeah, don't, if you have a generic function, don't give it interfaces, just give it specific types. And yeah, if this really matters to you, just, I guess, don't use generics, because the other part of Go hasn't gotten any slower because of generics. It's just generics because of the way that they are implemented. Also, I've really never heard someone complain about interfaces being slow. So I guess for most of us, this doesn't really matter because we don't write so performance critical code. But if you do, have this in mind. So to summarize, we have long awaited generics to be implemented in the language. The Go team really took their time with it because I guess they just want to make it right. And even though there are some performance implications, I guess for most of us, they wouldn't make a huge impact. And if they do, just, I guess, don't use them. And nothing in the specs prevents this from being optimized further. So in future releases, and if people complain more, I guess we can get some performance fixes. And let's finish with this table. We already saw this, the three categories of languages according to the generic dilemma. So let's see where Go stands here. Do we have fast programmers now that we can write generic code? Yes. Do we have fast compilers still? Yes, mostly. And do we have fast runtime? Yes, with some little caveats. So comparing to the other three, I would say the Go team did pretty well on generics, and I think we are in a good state. That will be all. You can see the slides here.
Thank you.
Still want some questions?
Yeah, okay.
Do we have any questions which are very important? If you are leaving, do so in your most uttermost silence. No questions? I have a question over there. I'm going to quickly give you the microphone. Please keep your hand up.
Hey, sorry. I was wondering whether it was possible to use a compiler flag to decide implementation. Like for release build, you may want fast runtime, right? So in that case, you may want stenciling approach, right?
What? I don't hear anything, no?
I was wondering whether it was possible to use a compilation flag to determine whether you want fast runtime, so like stenciling approach, and otherwise it's...
I didn't hear well. Something about compilation?
Sorry, let me come closer to you.
Yeah.
He was wondering if it was possible to add a compilation flag to reduce, if I misdo it correct, sorry, to reduce the slowness in the Go, if you could add a compilation flag to disable generics.
To disable generics? No, I don't think so, no. I mean, if you want to disable generics, just don't write generic code, just write, yeah. I don't hear anything, sorry.
It's very hard to hear in this room with everybody leaving. If you have more questions, he will be available in the hallway in the Go Dev room later. Just say hi, give him a free drink or something, and he will happily answer your answers and questions. Thank you very much. Round of applause.
Thank you.